that our sins were borne in the Lord's body while he suffered on the tree, that's vicarious sufferings. And that vicarious sufferings were personalized. Your name was on the cross. Your name was in every whip lash of endurance. Your name was in the nails that were driven into his hands.
Really appreciate the opportunity to bring the message to you today, and I trust that there will be a word
welcome
in season for you.
Let the Bible
so,
speak.
So, stay tuned. Broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is
thank
Pastor
you for
Ian
being a part of our
it
program
my joy
here today,
the message of God's
and
word
I hope
today.
That we'll there is a message for you wherever you are,
how Christ
wherever we can bring that message to
you.
So, stay tuned
he suffered
as we
upon
let.
The cross.
The Bible speak.
Firstly, let me mention
so,
to you
stay tuned
our church magazine
as we
called
let
The Current.
The Bible speak.
And this issue, there is a special article on Encountering the Ark. Encounter. And that is a promotion, really, of the Ark experience down in Kentucky. Answers in Genesis have built this life-size Noah's Ark. And there you can get a feel for the size, the framework, the design of it, and how everyone survived in that ark for a year and 10 days, from the day that God shut Noah in the ark until the day that they opened and came out into dry land, a year and 10 days. But in this article you'll see something of the ark's inhabitants, and, of course, why build an ark? And it was due, of course, to the worldwide flood. So I hope this is of interest. It's our church magazine. You can actually find it online if you go to our website, www.ltbs.ca. Look for the links, and you'll find Current magazine, and you can read it there or send me an email, and we could mail a copy to you. So stay tuned for our program coming up. We're going to be reading the Bible now, 1 Peter chapter 2. And we are called to a life of faith in the crosswork of the Lord Jesus. Christ died for us. He died for our salvation. And as we hear God's word today, both read from the Bible, and as we expound this whole doctrine of substitution, I hope that you will be impressed with what Jesus did for you upon that cross. Our Bible reading today is in 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read and preach from this chapter today, coming away from our series on the Christian armor because it's our Communion Sunday. And I feel constrained to come to this portion of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's read the chapter through. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.
Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then the Lord also suffered vicariously. That means in our place. Look at verse 21 again. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. For us. And then in verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so our Lord Jesus was smitten, he was flagellated, crucified, and by his sufferings we are healed. That's vicarious suffering. Jesus taking our place, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Now, that our sins were borne in the Lord's body while he suffered on the tree, that's vicarious sufferings. And that vicarious sufferings were personalized. Your name was on the cross. Your name was in every whip lash of endurance. Your name was in the nails that were driven into his hands. Christ died for us. Isaiah tells us that our names are written in the very palms of his hands. This vicarious in our stead death of Jesus means that it's personal. The name Ian Gollaher was on the cross work of Christ when he died. If you're a Christian, your name was there too. Christ died with you in mind as a vicarious substitute in your place. And so substitution is a tremendous wonder that God planned the cross and provided that his son would die in your place, so that legally you would be dead. When Christ died, you died. All the claims of the law satisfied. Substitution made Christ our worker on the cross. He was dying, bleeding, suffering for us. Substitution is our hope of freedom from sin. We are marvelously set free. In fact, that's how Peter writes it here in this passage. Go with me to chapter 2 and verse 16. Right in the midst of this whole matter of suffering as a Christian, he's saying, as free. Not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but using your liberty. Not for evil, but as servants of God. And so this gospel liberty sets us free to serve God. Christ died for me. I will never face that death. I will never face that punishment. I will never go to hell. I will never endure the wrath of God, because Christ took it all for me. I am free. I have this gospel liberty as a Christian. But how am I going to use that liberty? It's not a liberty to do what I please or what pleasures I find in the world. It is now a freedom to serve God. The Apostle Paul called himself the bond slave of the Lord Jesus. He was a servant, a bond slave. No rights, no standing of his own. He was sold out to be a servant and to live and serve the Lord Jesus. And in that chapter again, Romans 1, he talked to himself, being a debtor to grace, to preach the gospel. Christ died for him. Christ redeemed him, set him free from the curse. Now he's a debtor to all men who need this gospel. And so he was going to use his liberty, use his freedom to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. And we too are to stand up for Christ in this world. We are to use our gospel liberties because Christ died in my place. I now stand in Christ's place here on earth as his ambassador to preach him and to declare his grace and his mercy to the sinners of this world. There is a quote on a very famous painting where the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus is depicted. And the quote says, and these are given as the words of the Savior, "This have I done for thee. What hast thou done for me?" And as you would stand in an art gallery and look at that famous picture of the dying form of Christ on the cross, do you hear the challenge? Do you hear the voice of Jesus to your soul? "This have I done for thee. What hast thou done for me?" The famous missionary C.T. Studd, famous, I say, one day for world famous for cricket. He was a millionaire's son. And he threw it all away, the cricket career and the money, that he might be a missionary. And he said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then there is no sacrifice too great for me to make for him." You see the sense of responsibility, the debt that he felt. Because Christ had done it all, he must now surrender his all that he might serve the Lord. But C.T. Studd was also a realist. Not everybody will become a missionary. And he's famous also for this quote, "The light that shines farthest shines brightest near home. Use your liberty for Christ at home, in your community, in your church. Make your light shine for the Lord. You enjoy his grace, his mercy. Now you are a debtor to that grace to make him known far and wide." But it begins at home. And the born-again believer that studies the cross, that looks at the Savior dying in your place, you will feel this vicarious relationship. Christ on that cross, that was me dying. Christ took my place. It was my sin that nailed him there. It was for my salvation and my liberty that Jesus died on that cross. Now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm saved, I'm going to use that liberty and that freedom to glorify the Lord. And I'll have done with everything that brings shame on the name of Jesus. And I will give myself for everything that will honor him and that will promote his kingdom here on earth. That's the attitude of the Christian. And as you would take that cup and bread today and use these symbols to declare your faith in the Lord Jesus, you are saying that because Christ died for me, I'm now going to live for him. I'm going to serve him with all my being, my reputation, my name, my time, my talents are the Lord's. I give myself to him. Now, there's one other way in which the Lord died for us. I want us to emphasize, and that is that the Lord died victoriously. I've got three V's today. He died voluntarily, vicariously, and victoriously on the cross. Can you remember that? Because that now is your responsibility. Because you are to live the Christian life gladly, voluntarily, vicariously. You now are the representative of the Lord Jesus in your home, in your community, in your church. You represent the Lord Jesus, and you are to use your life to shine for Him. Then victoriously. Now the Lord accomplished everything for us on the cross. He triumphed over death, over sin, over the devil. He paid the debt. He canceled the grip of the law. And He has set prisoners free. He ended the curse by becoming a curse for us. And of course we remember that wonderful cry. I think it's the sixth cry of the Savior from the cross. It is finished. He finished the work that He came to do. And when He offered up His body on that cross, all the Jewish way of worship ended. The veil in the temple ripped in two from top to bottom by the hand of God. It was all over. Christ's work was finished. And then, of course, the great proof of it is that God raised Him again from the dead. He is our risen Savior. He is our victorious Lord Jesus. Now, we are also to live victoriously. Now, let me clarify something. We are not working toward the victory. We are not striving to get the victory. But when we become a Christian, we enter into the victory that is already won. Christ conquered for us. We now enter into that victory. And so we can say that our starting point in the Christian life is the victory of the Lord. What He accomplished is now our possession. We cannot claim to be enjoying the Christian life and enjoying all the victory that Christ purchased for us unless we enter into that victory. 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is the love of God made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world." We are living in the triumph and the victory of the Lord Jesus. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, they did not go in their own strength. The Lord had already promised them, it was already the promised land promised to them. And He says, "I not will give you the land, I have given you the land." Now we can say today as Christians, heaven is ours. We are possessors of heaven. Grace is ours. Salvation is ours. Peace with God is ours. We have the victory. Now we're to live it out. Now we are to live in that victory and serve the Lord in the triumph of His power. And we need to pray for the power of the cross work of Christ in our lives, even as we take this cup and bread today. Because this cup is intended by God to be a strengthening of our faith, of our spiritual lives. It is, in a sense, to put new fight into us, that we just don't roll over and endure things with a grumbling. No, we are praying that we be equipped, strengthened, enter into this battle which the Lord has already won for us. We are a people of victory. We have the victory through the Lord Jesus. So we're going to burn our bridges. Or as Alexander the Great did to his army, when they sailed across the sea and they reached the place of battle, they burned the ships. And every soldier knew it's either victory or defeat. There's no going back. And as Christians, we put on the Lord Jesus. We put on his victory. And we go forth, not backwards. And we enter into the blessings that are ours. And we claim them. We claim the possessions which are ours in the Lord Jesus. And so, if you look at verse 24, you'll see the argument that the Lord died to produce a holy people who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. We're no longer the servant of sin, no longer walking in darkness, but now we are to live unto righteousness. That's the victory ground. And by God's grace, we can claim that today, because Christ is our example. He's our example. Now, I clarify again, we do not get the victory for our own salvation. Christ got the victory at the cross to purchase that for us. But once you are saved and you are given the gift of eternal life, you enter into the victory of Christ. You no longer serve sin. You are no longer a slave of the devil. You are now the bond slave of the Lord Jesus. And you use your liberty to serve him with all your heart. And so as we take this cup and bread and recommit ourselves afresh to the Lord Jesus, we renounce sin. We renounce everything that would hinder. And we plead the victory that is in the Lord Jesus, that we may live more and more unto righteousness and die more and more unto sin. We come then to feast on the blessings which are ours in the Lord Jesus. Can you do that today? Can you say, this is my hope, my confidence? I can now live for the Lord voluntarily. I can live for the Lord vicariously. I can represent the Lord Jesus. I want to. And I can enjoy the victory. I'm not going to just roll over and live for the world. I'm going to stand up and live unto righteousness to the honor of my Lord and Savior who paid the price for me. This is now the Christian life. This is our yielded submission unto the Lord. So let these things be written in your heart today and practice them as we move to the table, as we take the cup and bread. Let these things be written in your heart.
Thank you for tuning in to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. And this is Ian Gallagher, and I hope that today that your own heart is stirred and encouraged as we minister God's Word today. Dr. R.A. Torrey once issued a challenge. He said, show me a man that is living a life of absolute surrender to God, living under the control of the Spirit of God, living a life of devotion to the highest welfare of his fellow men, a life of humility and of prayer, and I will show you every time a man who believes the Bible to be God's word. On the other hand, show me a man who denies or persistently questions whether the Bible is the word of God, and I will show you a man that is leading either, mind you, I say either, not all, a life of greed for gold or of lust, or of self-will, or of spiritual pride. I challenge any man to furnish me an exception. I have been looking for one literally round the world, and I have never found one. Whether men like it or not, a loose theology is bound up with loose living, and unbelief in the head is the child of sin in the heart. Does infidelity flourish in the company of the pure in heart? Never. Infidelity is at its strongest in the public house, the gambling den, and the blasphemer's club. The testimony of Joseph Baker, a member of the Mother of Parliaments and an ex-president of the British National Secular Society, cannot be invalidated. I have seen the dreadful effects which infidelity produces on men's characters. I have had proof of its deteriorating effects in my own experience. Its tendency is to utter debasement. Yes, men who live without the Bible go down into the gutter. Men who live without the knowledge of God and His Word, of His Son, of His grace, they descend into the clay area of life, into the vices. They seek satisfaction and contentment, and of course they follow the vain philosophies of men. And so I exhort you to be a Bible reader. I exhort you to let the Word of God dwell in you richly, and you will find that it will change your life. It will point you to the Savior. It will give you the promises that you can claim for salvation, and it will give you victory through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who Himself got the victory as He triumphed over death, over sin, and praise God over hell. You need the Christ of the Bible, and you need the Bible that leads you to Christ. Stay tuned now for these final announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.